than £500,000 has been paid out over 3 years to drivers here for damage done to their cars because of potholes and road defects. The Nolan Show can reveal that the compensation was paid out to more than 4,000 drivers between 2013 and 2016. Earlier, we were talking about possible cuts to budget. So how much priority should our roads get? Look at that. £500,000 paid out to drivers over 3 years for potholes. The former MLA, David McNary. David McNary, I haven't spoken to in a long time. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
Good morning. And the commentator, Ross Brown. Good morning to you, Ross.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning to you, Ross. Well, David, this is let's start with you. That's an incredible amount of money, isn't it? £500,000 on compensation to drivers for potholes.
I think the public will, and certainly in light of this morning's discussions, the public will just be astounded at those figures. But, Stephen, the thing is, this department actually planned for compensation. They're prepared to take a claim hit rather than fill in the potholes.
Yes.
They set aside in their budget hundreds of thousands of pounds for claims. When the business logic that you and I would know about would be, well, rather than pay the claims, should we not just fix the roads? And £500,000, I think, I'd make the argument, would fill in and fix an awful lot of potholes.
It probably wouldn't, David, would it? I don't know what it costs to fix potholes.
It would most certainly if they would do it right. Because, you know, these things are dangerous. They can cause serious accidents. And it's those incidents, they're not reported on the money side of it. But the worst aspect of it is, and I hear it every day, and I've heard it every day, no sooner has the hole been filled in when it returns. And then we're not talking about holes, we're talking about craters in the road.
Yeah.
And the problem is the holes aren't filled with the produce that's going to last. And that makes them continuous.
There's a hole like a crater.
It is.
In the bus lane of the Ormeau Road.
There is, and there are craters all over the country. And they're caused, Stephen, by no thought given into it. Let's just pay out the money if somebody drives into one. We'll sort that out. We'll set this money aside. It's in their budget. They do it deliberately. They know they're going to take a hit. And that's reprehensible as far as I'm concerned.
Ross?
Well, Stephen, I mean, nobody wants to see potholes, but I think that what we're seeing on our roads is a symptom of much wider cuts across our public services. And these are what are described as false economies. So that's when you make cuts to save money, but you actually spend more dealing with the problems created. But this is also happening in our schools when we're paying more for the cost of poor education. When our hospitals, we're making cuts to them and we're paying more for the cost of poor health. And it's also happening in our public transport system because we're paying for the cost of traffic in terms of pollution, in terms of the time that's being wasted, and also in terms of the number of cars we've actually got on the roads in the first place, creating the potholes in the first place. So, of course, let's make a fuss about the cuts that are happening to our government services, but I don't think we should be sacrificing the already poor investment in our public transport for more investment on roads. And the other thing that I would say is that we're spending...
What are you going to do, Ross, if you're not going to invest? You're just going to allow people to drive their car, have their car damaged, possibly people hurt, when these things can be fixed. And when you have a mentality in government, in this particular department, over many, many years, is let's just, well, if you excuse the pun, to pot with the potholes. Let's just, set aside, £500,000 to pay out in claims. That's not a cut.
No,
that's
I'm not saying...
That's a deliberate decision taken in terms of a policy.
I would be interested, actually, in all of you listening this morning to tell me what the state of the roads are like where you live and if there are many potholes. And also, because I've never claimed in my life for a pothole damage, I don't know what pothole damage is. So what does it do to your car? It damages... Well, how do you know the wheel's damaged?
It damages your tyres, your wheels, your exhausts, the undercarriage of your car.
My undercarriage is damaged, actually.
Pardon?
My undercarriage is damaged. There's a rattle.
Well, I think what you said, Stephen, and I did it some years ago, asked people to in Stratford to let me know about the potholes. I think we stopped counting at 488. Yes. And it would be very interesting to do an audit of the number of potholes there are throughout the country.
So if you have a damage, I am so naive about all this. So if your tire is damaged or you have a rattle in your undercarriage, that could be potholes.
Well, you will know whether you went into a pothole or not. And in this age of you're able to take photographs with your mobile phones, etc.
Yes.
That's the way to crack it. And don't worry, this department's so blasé about the whole thing. They have just said, these are going to happen, we're not going to fix the potholes, but we'll do half a million pounds.
And how do you get the money? Do you have to go through court, or do you write in, or what happens?
It's a lot easier to get compensation for potholes than it is for pavements that are uneven and people tripping on them and breaking bones, I can tell you that. And you don't need to go to the court. You make a claim to the department, and they will look at it. They'll argue with you, but their arguments can't be that good if they're.
How do you know all this? Have you claimed for your undercarriage?
No, I have no experience of a pothole. The problem is that you avoid potholes if you see them, and then that makes you a danger to other road users. My experience is based on constituency work and people coming to me from across Northern Ireland telling me of their experiences and the damage it's done to their cars.
030 30 80 55 55, if you're picking up the phone this morning. Go ahead, Ross.
Would David agree with me that rather than spending hundreds of millions of pounds on new roads like the A5 and the A6, that we should actually be directing that towards our current infrastructure? Instead of spending all this new money on roads that they can't even manage to maintain,
we need the infrastructure, Ross. That on the A5 and the A6, we need that badly. There is no excuse for not being able to repair the potholes and repair them properly and permanently. Not a slapdash fix that we're doing at the moment, and that's all we need to do.
I think we're directing our money towards the wrong.
Contractors are crying out for work, and if they're given the job to do to a proper specification, that keeps
and I think,
the
roads I think we're
and
directing our,
safe.
I think we're directing our money towards the wrong type of investment. I mean, we only have a limited budget.
No, Ross, but you're a tree hugger. You would go against anything that's proper investment, so long as we could protect flowers and trees and all sorts of things. You know, that nobody's really worried about.
Nobody's worried about
looking after people and not having damage.
Nobody's worried about trees?
Pardon?
Nobody's worried about trees?
Nobody's really worried about them when it comes to lives.
Well, I am worried about lives, David. I'm worried about the 500 people who die prematurely every year as a result of air pollution in our cities because of traffic congestion.
How many people have died in Belfast because of air pollution?
500 premature deaths every year, David.
In Belfast?
In Belfast, yes.
In Belfast?
Yes, it's a public health agency. 500, it was reported in the Belfast Telegraph last week.
500 people have prematurely died in Belfast because of diesel pollution?
Because of air pollution, yes.
And
premature deaths every year in Belfast.
Well, that is worrying. And yet what we're finding is that people are still selling diesel cars. I'm going looking for a new car this week. All I can buy in the model I want, Ross, is a diesel car.
What are you going to get, David?
Well, I'm not going to tell you that until you tell us how much you get paid every week.
Are you looking at a... Come on, it says a lot about a man what car he drives. What are you looking at?
I'm looking to replace the BMW that I have with a newer model.
Are you going to go for a Sporty 5 Series, or...?
Stephen, I've been through all that. I just want a nice casual car that...
What about a soft... I can see you in a soft
avoid,
top.
...that I can avoid potholes with.
I can see you in a soft top, a cabriolet.
Well, I wouldn't mind one if it was in the south of France, but not here. What do you drive, by the way?
I drive a 5.5-year-old Audi.
And what model is that?
It's an A8.
Oh, well, it's not a bad car.
It's a big car for a fat man. Billy in Belfast. Morning, Billy.
Morning, Sean. I was just saying to your counter there, I was driving down a Falls Road about a fortnight ago, going to St. Andrews to get petrol.
Yes.
And I had a pothole that I didn't see at all.
Need to watch your undercarriage.
And a power steering one.
Oh, dear.
If you ever drove a car without a power steering, especially a big Audi, my car's a wee car, but it was like a tank. I get into the petrol station, I says to my wife, I don't know how we're going to get home, this car. The time I filled it up with petrol, she went for the power steering come back on again.
My goodness.
But it was a shock on the main road.
Sure was. Billy, thank you. Bill in Belfast. Morning, Bill.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning.
I have a question for the general public and yourself and whoever's in charge of the roads.
Yes.
I have just bought my granddaughter a pony and trap.
You what?
A pony and trap. A wee horse and cart you sit on. Like, no, quiet man, no, that type of thing.
Have you?
Yeah, and we love it. And we're just wondering, will we be allowed in bus lanes? And I should say, absolutely no pollution to the air, because it doesn't run on diesel or petrol. It runs on grass and oats. So I want to know, well, they're coming up, and I live beside a bus lane, and they're bringing it up in a horse trailer in the cart, and they're going to take me out for a wee trot on it. And I wonder, will we be allowed in the bus lanes?
No, you won't.
Well, why not?
Why not? It's a horse. It's not a car. It's a horse and it's a pony and trap.
It's not a bus either.
It's not a taxi either or a bicycle. But it's a non-polluting vehicle.
It's a brilliant form of travel. I've got to tell you, I live in Ballygown Sinfield area, and there are a number of guys out with the pony and traps.
Yes, we've been
rather envious of them, I must say. And good luck to your family. I hope they enjoy it.
Do you have to pay tax on that?
No. You only have to pay feeding bills. And it's not as dear as diesel or petrol. And after hearing the last commentator about 500 premature deaths, I think we all should go back to horse and carts.
And do you poop and scoop, or whatever it's called?
Well, of course.
Not you, though. I mean the pony.
Well, the pony couldn't do it itself, but if we are out, we have a little bucket and a shovel. And if it drops its business, we stop, and the traffic stops behind us.
You don't.
We do.
So the cars are all waiting behind you, and you're shoveling.
Do. Yes. Because I don't want to find £80 or £100. The responsibilities with a horse is the same as a dog.
It's good for the roses, to understand.
Oh, yes. But what I want to know, can we go into a bus lane?
No, you can't.
Oh, I'll have to find out. Stephen will find out for me.
You should challenge them anyhow. It'd be good fun.
What?
Challenge them and see if they catch you on camera.
Well, there'll be no registration.
What do you put the doo-doo in?
You put it in the pocket.
And then put it in beside you when you're driving along.
You put it in the back.
No, I wouldn't have that.
Oh, why not? Sure, look at you throw in the back of your car hamburger boxes and Chinese carry-outs and everything like that. The smell of your car must be wonderful. At least we are open air.
Minging.
All right, then, will you find that out?
I will.
Okay. Thank you.
Cheerio.
Bye-bye.
David, do you miss politics?
My sense is that I'm pretty upset about the politicians today, now, and the stalemate and the shenanigans that are going on.
Do you think their pay should be cut?
I think that basically a deadline needs to be set and kept to it. I'm not enamoured with Broken Shire moving these deadlines, because what that means, and we've all known over the years, there aren't deadlines. But if there's no agreement for a fixed term, and I think that's what we're looking for, is a fixed term, not something that is a patch-up and, all right, we could be all out in another year's time, then there's no assembly. This is really make-your-mind-up time for Northern Ireland politicians as to, can we work together? Will we work together?
But if they don't, for example, manage to come up with a deal between themselves,
then they're out
by June. Do you think their pay should be cut?
Well, I don't think it's not a question of their pay being cut. I just don't think that they should be in office. They just would be out if there's no work for them to do. Then the corollary of that is there's no pay, and that's unfortunate because we are talking about people's careers. We're talking about their livelihoods. It's a bit like football management in some respect. You're in there, and some of these people have given up very good jobs to serve the public. And now they're unsure of what their situation is.
Look, David, some of those
and strains on people
Look, I've said it before. I'll say it again. I'm not too sure I've said it like this, but I'll say it. You know, some of those politicians do my head in. They irritate me deeply.
Well, you've no idea what you do to them and what you've done to me in the past.
Well, let me just finish that though. They do my head in. They irritate me, but there's no doubt they're smart. And there's no doubt they're intelligent, and there's no doubt that they work hard.
I've always found in politics, and it took some time for it to settle in Stormont with Sinn Féin in particular, and how they were going to be met by unionists. And they've got over that in the main now. People will go up in lifts with each other where they wouldn't previously. But they are smart and they are clever. And they have the ability, we've always had the ability to do well by our people. And what we allow ourselves to do is to be sidetracked in terms of a them and us situation. You have an election and that's about them and us. Once it's over, it's about us. And I think that's what our politicians should be working on.
If it goes down, though, the concern many would have is that it'll never come back.
It will come back, but it'll go down for reasons, and the reasons are, and I say this as a unionist, and I can only speak as a unionist, the reasons would be to me that it'll go down because the red line demands that are being put on unionists can't concede.
Okay, let's come back to potholes. Stephen, morning, Stephen.
Hey, Stephen, how are you?
Good morning.
How's things?
Not very good.
Good stuff. Just sent you a tweet there with some of the pictures that were getting sent through regarding potholes.
Right. Whereabouts?
Well, they're all over Northern Ireland. It's an app we've developed called Reportall that allows the public to send in potholes or dog dirt or litter.
Oh, I see.
And they get assigned then to either Transport NI or the councils.
How do you make money out of that?
Well, it's a free app, but we sign up the councils to the service and then they pay us for access into the data.
All right. And are you making money?
A bit. Still have to work the day job, but we'll hopefully get there.
It's a good idea, actually.
But the potholes do seem to be coming through thick and fast at the minute. Whether it's usually very seasonal that you see more during the winter with the frosts. Uh-huh. But I suppose with the weather we're having, we could have frost any time of the year.
Stephen, thank you. James, morning, James.
Morning, Stephen.
Good morning.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Stephen, yeah, it's James here.
It's Stephen here.
I'm at Ballymena, all right.
Ballymena, sorry.
You want to know about potholes? You want to know about potholes? Bring your cameras down here with a camera crew. I got two every street and every road leading out of Ballymena. There's potholes patched up. I go to Granville Drive. I ride a motorbike. Everybody's talking about cars. I ride a motorbike. My motorbike's getting shaped, you know. Any kid wouldn't be in it. I get down Granville Drive, there's two speed bumps, and you'd need to be the Evel Knievel to drive over them. I'm not joking you. Every street. I phoned up the road service. You know what
yes.
they said? I was sorry, James. Not me. No funds. I said, well, put it this way. I'm pre-warning you.
No what?
If I come off it, pardon?
No what?
No funds. No money. No money. No dinero. Right?
Yes.
That's all the chase I got. I said, put it this way. I'm pre-warning you. If I come off the motorbike, I'm chewing the arse off you. And that's about it. So that's what I said to him.
And
I want a new motorbike out of it because my motorbike's like, talk about a scrambler.
No, you can't. I'm finding it difficult to interpret your accent, but don't be swearing.
All right.
We're sorry
about
that.
Ballymena.
Keep the language clean. So has your motorbike been damaged?
Yes, the motorbike at the moment, sir. Oh, shit, it's not damaged at the minute, but it's starting to shake a bit too much in the front steering on it.
It's starting to what?
The front steering is getting damaged.
I can't make this man out!
Can you not understand me, Stephen?
I need to bring our reporter. She's our country correspondent.
Get her down to Ballymena and meet me there soon. I'd give you a lesson around roads with potholes and patched up holes and speed bumps and.
Why don't they fix them properly?
Because they haven't got the money. They told me. I said, my motorbike's getting damaged, and I've nearly come off a couple of times throughout furrows and manhole covers and that there. Oh, we're sorry, Jim. I said, well, I'm going to sue the thing off you.
Yes.
Oh, that's all right. Yeah, you'll have to do that. That's what I got. But my motorbike's getting wrecked at the minute, and that's the truth.
It's getting what?
It's getting wrecked. Wrecked, damaged.
Hold on.
You're not a ball, I mean, man. Can you not understand me?
Well, I'm bringing our Randall's Town.
Randall's Town.
Correspondent.
My God, how much are you getting paid and you can't even say a word?
Well, this man.
I understand this man totally. What's his name?
Ballymena.
Thank you.
English.
James in Ballymena.
James, he's just pretending that he's posh or something, like he's on Five Live
yes,
at the minute.
I don't
understand what you're saying. Please use some more syllables.
That man was swearing in the radio and I didn't know.
He said it's shake, I think. Don't repeat it, though, just in case.
I didn't swear on the radio. I said ASS. That's it.
Oh, no, that's okay. Swear. But you said shake?
No, I did not. No, you're misunderstanding
no,
me.
No, not. I'm not swearing
Stephen,
now.
Now, what's your language?
David
Stephen?
McNary, we will say thank you. Good morning.
Thank you
Ross
much.
Brown, thank you. James, what?
James, I apologise on the behalf of the BBC for him being rude and pretending he doesn't understand you because you're from the country.
That's quite correct. Ballymena, big town.
We need to.
he doesn't know where Ballymena is.
If James was on the television, I would be putting subtitles under him.
No, you wouldn't.
I would.
You
no,
talk to my sister often enough, Bernadette Smith.
Yes. Bernie Smith. That's that's your sister.
Your accent's slightly sister, different from Bernie's.
Your accent is different than Bernadette Smith's, let me tell you. Has she had elocution lessons?
No, there's no answer to that, Stephen. No, Stephen, bring a reporter down here and I'll pick him around the road and I'll put him in the back of my motorbike and he'll see for himself what these blasted roads and streets are like.
See, why is he calling Nicola he?
His motorbike is wrecked.
Yeah, my motorbike's getting wrecked.
Wrecked!
Thanks, James.
Wrecked! I'm gonna wreck you! Wrecked!